So a man by the name of Carl von Clausewitz is credited for coining the term the fog of war. Reading from an article here, although he never actually used that term, he did speak of fog as a metaphor for war's ambiguities. Once a battle begins, he said, information that is tactically relevant can become confusing and even disordered because of the difficulty of seeing patterns in the midst of the fog, separating the signal from the noise. For example, tactical leaders must be allowed to act independently of operational plans. That term he talked about has gone on throughout the hundreds of years, talking about many war planners, talking about how difficult it is to plan. You can plan for something, but when war happens, when chaos happens, trying to stay with those things, those plans, is sometimes difficult. Well, you know, we fight a war, as we all know. We fight against an adversary, as we all know, and he knows our greatest weaknesses. And he exploits those weaknesses as much as he is able. You know, as a strategist, there might be great, great strategists concerning war, concerning man's carnal battles in this world, but Satan as a strategist is second to none. His ability to deceive and lead man away from God is unparalleled. He has been wildly successful in that war against mankind, a war against God's plan since he was cast back down from trying to take over God's throne. He wasn't that good of a strategist to believe that he could actually conquer God. But he has conquered and he has deceived and enslaved mankind since that time. And we know that the world is in spiritual blindness because of him. Like lambs, mankind seems to be oblivious to the wolf and to that predator that continuously circles mankind, looking for prey, looking for the weak, and especially with the church, because that's what this brilliant strategist really desires. That's what his real goal is, to disrupt those and to take away the promises of those that are following after God's plan. And that kind of spiritual recklessness that the world has and some of God's people have is due to man's rejection of God, quite simply. Which, that kind of rejection has provoked the anger of our Father towards judgment for mankind. Lamentations 2, and in verse 1. Lamentations seems to be hidden quite well in those prophets. Lamentations 2 and verse 1. How the Lord has covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in his anger. He has cast down from heaven to the earth the beauty of Israel and did not remember his footstool on the day of his anger. God, because of his anger and his judgment towards how mankind has rejected him, has covered Israel, covered the people with a cloud of understanding, of not being able to understand his purpose, his words. Deuteronomy 28, beginning at verse 28, reflecting the same idea of God's wrath towards man. Deuteronomy 28, beginning verse 28, the Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart, and you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. Madness, blindness, confusion. I mean, those are the headlines of this world today. Those are especially the headlines of God's chosen nations of this day. It's amazing to see how complete some of these judgments are coming to be as we look at the news and look at what is happening in our world currently, today. You know, living in this age, it's easy to fall into that same kind of blindness as those around us, the confusion of those around us. Because this blindness is mistaken, not for stupidity, but it's mistaken for wisdom, for self-determination, for enlightenment, for reliance on the self and not God. Mankind doesn't consider himself blind. The world doesn't consider itself blind. They consider themselves knowledgeable, enlightened, not tied to these old customs, these old dogmas, these old principles that the man and woman of the centuries past believed, not these old ancient things. Mankind knows better. They find wisdom in themselves. They understand how they can live with and be successful without God, at least in their own minds. But as we see the confusion, the blindness that is overtaking this world, we know that that is not true. That mankind, with all of their glory, with all of the light, with all of the brilliance that they have come up with, is nothing, is passing. You know, the godless world around us doesn't appear, as I said, to be that stumbling spiritual fools that they really are. Quite the opposite. The world appears to be fully functioning on their own without God, or did so at least in the recent past. That is coming to an end, it seems, as mankind is confused, mankind is divided, and not really knowing why. I mean, we know why. We know this brilliant strategist, what his plan is, to divide, to keep dividing, to the point that people can be picked off, especially those that are following after God's true path. You know, the world really has absolutely no idea how outclassed they are in trying to battle Satan on their own. There is no battle. We saw images in the desert wars of helicopters coming in and lone people out in the middle of the desert, men surrendering themselves to these massive technological advanced helicopters, as Apaches coming in. And that doesn't even begin to show how outclassed Satan is when he's coming in, because people don't know. People don't know that they're being beaten. That is how great of a strategist he really is. The historian Bevan Alexander, speaking about Genghis Khan, says, "The Mongol tactics were refined by repeated drills and built on tried techniques, directed by clear signals from leaders. A favorite technique of the Mongols was the fein. Combining the speed of the horses with a refined system of control and timing, horsemen rushed forward in a furious charge, then, pretending the onslaught had been failed, withdrew, seemingly in panic and sometimes over the horizon. Inevitably, the enemy would follow their retreat, eager to seize on its advantage. In the process, any army would outrun its supports, losing their tight defensive order and allowing units and individuals to become detached from the corps. When this occurred, the Mongol horse archers suddenly regrouped, turned on the advancing enemy, and defeated the disorganized force piece by piece." I mean, Genghis Khan conquered much of the known world in his area with these kind of techniques, with this brilliant ability as a strategist. Satan uses the same things, but even more so. Disorganizing people, confusing people, thinking that we have an advantage by leaving the strength and the foundation of God. Going out on our own, we are picked apart piece by piece. You know, we exist not outside, but in the middle of this great spiritual conflict as well. Satan knows his days are ending. He knows that he is losing this battle, and he's lashing out as much as possible against God's chosen. And we're in the middle of it. And Satan's techniques are just as pervasive and persuasive to us unless we can see through this confusion, unless we can see through his deception and his great strategies. And the ability for us to pierce that similar fog of war comes only through godly vision. That's the only way that we can possibly see exactly what Satan is trying to do to us, exactly his techniques. Without it, we're lost. We have no hope of outclassing Satan. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, and beginning in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. And that's exactly how the Gentiles are walking, trying to compete with Satan. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Putting on that new man is the only way that we can rise above this fog. Not relying on our old concepts, but relying and moving towards godliness. You know, speaking about the fog of war, Dwight David Eisenhower summed it up neatly by saying, "In preparing for battle, I have always found that plans are useless, but planning is indispensable." And that is so true. When we are caught in the midst of chaos, in the midst of trials, in the midst of anything that questions and tries to chip away at our foundations, unless we have planned, unless we have conquered our own carnality to the point that we can rise above it through godliness, unless we have that those habits built up, we might fail. We can't rely on just living in the moment, trying to figure out things on the fly. We have to approach the fight that we are going against with Satan with planning, with this becoming part of our essence to the point that it's habitual, that we can easily see when deceit is entering. Otherwise, we can fail. I want to read what Christ even talked about in this regards. Matthew 25, beginning verse 1, the parable of the virgins. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And that speaks quite well to this world today, that there are ones that are taking this to heart, that are really trying to pull in and become close as they can to godliness. And there are those that are not as wise. They're not taking this to heart. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps, so they were preparing. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And that even speaks great to this current day, that we all are in that state. We all can slumber. We all can become used to the greatness and the prosperity that we have had and forget how this is just part of the great deceit of Satan. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. From Christ's own words, even he did not know the day of his coming. But he wanted those that did follow after him to be prepared. To not just make a plan, well, I'll go out there and maybe meet him, and not be prepared for it, as those foolish virgins were. You know, God's called out people are aware of Christ's return, as those virgins were when they went out to meet. But we have the inclination in our carnality to not always be prepared for it, as Christ's own words have led us to understand. We are all weary of this spiritual battle, to the point of slumbering, to the point of getting used to it. But let's not make the mistake that the foolish virgins did. Walk always, brethren, with the spirit of the fullness, or the fullness of our spirit, the God's spirit within us. It's only when that uncertainty surrounds us that we will be lifted and we will be prepared when that knock comes at the door.